Thank you, Cindy, and other musicians. I'm going to ask kids, younger kids can go to children's church, and older kids, if you need a listener's club question, Miss Erin has passed those out. If you need some over this way, one more. And some need pencils. Because if you've got an extra pencil somewhere, you can pass on to a kid. How many kids need a pencil? Don't really do them? Okay, do I have a pencil? I got a pen here. Okay, you got one? Okay, all right. All right. And this morning we're looking at a variety of texts. The pages for in your pew Bibles will be listed there. We'll talk about Cornfest at the end of the service and where we're going on from here. This next week, Paul McCleary and I are going up to our district business conference. There's another one later on in October where there will be more of a celebration and more inspiration. You're welcome to be part of that over in Lancaster, actually. But this week we're going up to that. And what I'm going to do, we've had a change of plans in our family, as you know, so things are shifting. What I want to do is talk about missions next week and come back and share some things also that we have learned up there in terms of some adjustments in approach to missions that we have in the Alliance, and then talk a little bit more than we will this morning about why we do what we do. So listeners, clubbers, okay? I'm really glad that you want to get the answers to the questions. Just try and keep it low, okay? And adults, older adults, now remember, if you hear a kid talking in church, they might be trying to hear what that person in the front is saying, okay? So kids, try and just keep it low. But adults, let's be understanding, because we're excited that kids are here and they want to learn about Jesus. Yes, Alex. Because why? All you need is to learn about Jesus. So you're doing it without Listeners Club, okay? However you do it, we want to learn about Jesus. And Jesus loves that you're here. And we do too. So let's pray together. Now, Lord Jesus, we are here with you this morning. And you are here with us, and we celebrate Emmanuel, that you are God with us. And so, Lord, we come to you not with a bunch of human things that we've done, though we're human. But, Lord, we lay aside what we've done, and we ask you now to speak to us through your word by your Holy Spirit. Because, Jesus, you're the one that we need. So, Jesus, would you come to us? Would you speak to us this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I learned something a couple of weeks ago that I can tell you more about if you want, but I learned that there's sinkholes in Pennsylvania that pop up all over the place. In Hellam, Pennsylvania. Yes, I've learned that. I've learned that there are sinkholes in Hellam, Pennsylvania. As you're walking home, yeah, like watch where you step. But, you know, it reminded me of a guy, Gordon MacDonald, who talked about how life is full of sinkholes. And how often that we build our lives on something that we think that we got going, but there's so much going on, sometimes a sinkhole comes our way. And so we order our lives around the many activities that we have. And so we have church, and we have family, and we have work, and we have recreation, and we have shopping, and all kinds of things that we do. But then life hits us. And if we're ordering our lives around the wrong thing, then sinkholes come and they start to things start to fall in. So let's say that we order our lives around our families, but then work hits us, and we have a hard time attending to work as we should. Or let's say it's the other way around. Let's say that we order our lives around our work, and then our families are calling us. And sometimes our families get messed up because of the work. Or we order our lives around church, and then maybe we're neglecting our fitness, or maybe we order our lives around our fitness, and all of a sudden we don't have enough food on the table. And what Gordon MacDonald said is that We need to order our lives around something else. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And that something else is something that we do together. Okay, and Alex has got his hands going the right direction here. Because we begin by ordering our lives around the Lord and around Emmanuel and around that relationship with him. Because what he calls us to do, first of all, is to remember that we are never alone. That God is with us. And so way back in the book of Genesis, we learn about a family by the name of Abraham and Sarai. You remember them? So they were the ones that the Lord had called, and the Lord had said to them, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through you. Well, they were 75 years old. Now, if you were 75 years old and you hadn't had children, what would you start to conclude? You'd start to think, no, this is probably not going to happen, right? They were 75, and they were, yeah, and yeah, that's right. Yeah, you no, well, it was coming. It was coming. But Abraham and Sarah said, you know, God said he's going to make us a great nation. He said we're going to have children. Well, maybe it's going to happen in another way. And so they started thinking about the legal ways that things could happen in their day. And one of the ways that a family could have children, if they weren't having children, again, remember, there's not modern medicine in those days, was if they had a slave or like a maid servant, then the maid servant could have a child through the man of the house, and then that baby would be adopted into their family, and that would be the one that would be the heir of the family. Of all that the family had. And so they had a maidservant by the name of Hagar. And Sarai called Hagar in, and she said, okay, this is the only way we're going to have a family. You know, she was an Egyptian from where she was born, and so she got pregnant through Abraham. It definitely, yeah, it was messing up the genetics. Yeah, this is true. The Bible doesn't say this was right, but that's the way that the world worked in those days in that place. And so, okay, keep it down, guys, okay? And so then what happened was she gets pregnant, and she starts thinking she's kind of big stuff in the home. And then Sarai, who's the lady of the house, says, I don't like what's going on here. And remember who had asked her to do this. And she says, okay, Abraham, she's out of here. Now, she's hundreds of miles from home. She's an Egyptian woman. And she's out on the pathway. She's on her way back to Egypt. She's alone. She's barefoot and she's pregnant. She's destitute. She's got nothing. And she cries out to the Lord. And the Lord hears her. And the Lord says to her through an angel, He says, this isn't your fault. This didn't happen because of you. He said, I care for you. I love you. You learned about me, the God of father of Abraham. You learned about me through Abraham, though he and his wife have wronged you now because they're having trouble trusting me. Now I want you to go home. He said, I want you to go back to Abraham and Sarai, and I want you to have a baby. And she says, oh God, you did hear me. You are the God, you see me, you hear me. And in fact, she said, I'm going to name this baby. She would name this baby Ishmael, which means you not only see me, but you hear me. You are the God who hears me. You see, the beauty of the Bible story, of the one true story of the world, is that God is with us. He isn't a king of the universe that leaves us alone. But you remember way back at the beginning, he came into the garden. We sang about it. He came to Adam. And then he came to Noah, though the world was a mess. And then he came to Abraham. But he didn't stop then. He came to Abraham, and then he came to Moses. And then he came to David. And then he came to Daniel in the lion's den. And then he came to Joseph and to Mary. He came to Isaiah, the prophet, in a time when Israel was going into exile. And then he came to Joseph and he came to Mary. And he said, I'm going to give you Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then he came to the disciples when they knew that he was leaving them. And then he said, I am going to be with you forever. I'm going to come down and I'm going to live with you, he said in the book of Revelation, and you are going to live with me. And so, we're not alone. We're never alone. Whether we're in church or whether it's school or whether we're in the hospital, like our dear brother Leroy, or whether we're at work, or whether we're in Hellam or Wrightsville, or whether we're in, I don't know, California somewhere. We're never alone because God is with us, whether we're in good times or in bad or somewhere in between. The Lord is with us. And that's really, really good news. We could be on Mars and God would be with us there. We could be in another galaxy. That's right. You know what? But we're never, ever alone. But we need reminders, don't we? Because we often feel like we're alone. And you know, that's why we come together on a Sunday morning. We come together to worship, to love God, and to remember together. The Lord said to stop every week, to remember together, to remember that he is with us, because we so easily forget. We love God in worship. And one of the places in the Bible that we hear about this is way back in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet was in a hard, hard time for Israel. Israel's king had just died. The Lord had just told them that they were going off into captivity. Their nation was going to be taken captive, and they were going off to a place called Babylon. And they were scared to death. And plus, their king had just died. And that's what Isaiah, the Lord was saying to Isaiah, that the Lord would take care of them. Because he had this vision of God on a great big high throne. And he was in his temple, the place where God showed that he was with his people. And his robe was so long that the train of his robe filled the temple. And there was smoke that was filling the temple. And there were some creatures that were flying around. And they were saying, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. There's no one that is like him. They remembered who he was in charge. And that's why in worship, on a Sunday morning, that's why on Sunday morning, that's why we begin with praise. And that's why there's a call to worship. We begin with praise. But after we see God high and lifted up, it's then that we say, oh, I'm a mess. And what happened was Isaiah said, man, he said, I've got a dirty mouth. And everybody around me, he says, got a dirty mouth. He said, I'm not worthy of being with God. And so what he was doing is he was confessing his sins. When I was in Canada a few weeks ago, we watched the service from my father-in-law's church online. And they had not only had a call to worship, they had a call to confession. I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'm not saying we should necessarily do that, but whenever we are called to worship, and whenever we see the Lord high and lifted up, as we do in worship, okay, what we ought to be doing is falling on our faces and saying, oh God, I'm not worthy of you. And admit that to God. That's confessing our sins. Admitting who we're not, it's like, oh God, I'm not worthy of you. Because you see, when we confess our sins, the Bible tells us that he forgives us our sins. So after we confess our sins, it's then that what happens with Isaiah is the Lord sends one of the creatures over to the sacrifice which was being offered. And he took a hot coal and he took it over and he touched his mouth. And it was through that he was forgiven. He remembered that a sacrifice had been given for him. And so he was forgiven. And the sins of God's people were forgiven. And God atoned for his sin. To atone means to be made one. So we are separated from God. But through the sacrifice, we're brought together with God. And we now in New Testament times, we know that that happened in Jesus. The sacrifices in the Old Testament were simply pictures of what is to come. And so we move from praising God to confessing our sins to having our sins atoned for being forgiven. We need to remember as we worship every Sunday that Christ came. The reason that we're here, the reason after we see God high and lifted up, then we fall before him. We say, God, I'm not worthy of you. And then we remember that we're forgiven in Jesus. And then the natural response to that is to go where God sends us and to say, okay, God, the Lord said to Isaiah, who will I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah's natural response, he said, here am I. He said, send me. You see, he wasn't doing this. He wasn't falling before the Lord. He wasn't doing his Christian service thing because he had to. Oh, I got to do this. No, it was a response of joy because he was now forgiven and saying, oh, my sin has been taken care of. And out of joy, he said, oh, I'm right here. I want to go. Send me. And that's why we share Jesus with others. That's why we love him with our lives. Because we worship him and we see that we're not worthy, and then we're forgiven, and then we listen to him, and then we say, okay, I will go where you call me. But being never alone, it means that we continue on and we worship him, but then we join his story. And his story is something that we join with others. We see this throughout the scriptures. But we see it, one of the places that we see that we love others and we connect with others is over in the book of Ephesians, a book that we studied, a year or two here at Valley View. And so the book of Ephesians talks about how Christ is with us. We think back in the book of Matthew, Matthew 18, where the Lord said that where two or three are gathered, that Christ is in the midst of us. And so, as Christ is in the midst of us, what happens is that we move from there to reach out to others so that we can become more of who God made us to be. Ephesians, or Ephesus, was a pagan city in modern-day Turkey. There were a lot of nasty, nasty stuff going on there, even worse than things going on here, if you can believe that. They were the place where the great pagan goddess Diana was. But as Paul began to talk, he started a church there, and as he began the church, he said, okay, Jesus is in this church. And because Christ is in this church, then because Christ is with us, first three chapters, he said, now we are called to love and care for one another. And the way that worked, he said, is by you giving in to one another out of life for Christ. And so instead of becoming a people with their backs up against one another and their backs up to God, like God's people were back in the wilderness, we become
an open people, a people that are a cooperative people, a people that cooperate with one another, a people that submit to one another out of love for Christ. And this affects our marriages, so that we learn to work with each other in our marriages, in our homes, kids, what it means that even in our families, that kids obey their parents and parents love their kids. Kids, they work with their kids. Dads especially, it says, are not overly harsh with their kids. But even at work, we are cooperative employees. We look for ways that we can be of encouragement and help to the boss. They were slaves. And Paul said, that's the way that you need to act because of what Jesus has done for you. But then he said, also the bosses. He said, look for ways to care for the employees and mind your own business. Don't worry about the other person's end of it. But if you're an employee, then learn to cooperate. If you're a boss or a supervisor, then care for them and think of their needs even before your own. A few weeks ago, you know, got to the end of the service. I knew that we were leaving the service to run up to Canada to care for Maureen's mom. We didn't know how long she was going to be around. It could be a while. We didn't know. And you know what? Then Paul McCleary came up. He said, several people have talked to me. They said, we need to do something here. And then he prayed, and you prayed for us as we took off. And we ran up to Canada. And it was a big rainstorm. And, you know, somebody did our lawn. And somebody took care of some things in the basement. And somebody took care of some things in the front lawn. And you know what? We felt loved. We felt really loved. And that's the kind of thing that happens in the church. The Lord has made us for each other. And he's recreating and doing something beyond what is normal. That's why, you know, so we have this this email that goes out. Once a week we call it the Valley View, and it has a bunch of prayer requests. And we pray for one another. We have some special notes that go out, and we're working on how can we make this work for people that don't do email, but you know, that's another issue, but they go out during the week, and we pray for each other, you know, so that as the men gathered this morning in their community group, they were asking about Lee Groundling, how's he doing, and we would hear during the week, how's so-and-so doing. We care for each other, we love one another, and people do things for each other, and that's because that's what God has called us to be, to do, and to be. Because Jesus calls us after we have worshipped him, our natural response. It's not just to get stuff in our head about him. It's that it might flow out to one another. And when it flows out to one another, it's then that we change the world. Not because we're so good. Not because we're so hardworking. But because of what Christ is doing in us. Now, last week we looked at Jeremiah chapter 29. Another place where they talked about how God's people had messed up and they were being sent off to Babylon. What we learned in Jeremiah 29 is because God has worked in us, it's then that we join God's mission. We're doing a corn fest this morning, or this afternoon, not just because it's a lot of fun. It'd be a lot of fun. We're doing a corn fest because we care about our community. And we want to bring shalom. We want to bring goodness to the community, share Christ with others. In a couple of weeks, we'll have our Dominican Republic fest. Seems like we're doing a lot of fests these days. But we want to celebrate what God is doing around the world, because God has called us to that. And we have hope. We have hope because the Lord said, I know the plans I've got for you. You know, if it was all dependent on us, we'd be in trouble. But the Lord said, I have plans for shalom, for peace, for hope. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And that's what we want to share with others. You see, the way that we make progress with the sinkhole syndrome is by remembering that we are never alone, by loving God, by loving others, and so changing the world. A couple of weekends ago, Kent Zellers, many of us know, was married. Kent was married, you know, for a long time to Dee, who died in her 50s, tragically, and was a great heartache to us and, of course, to him. But what he didn't know was there was a lady down in, I think it was Springettsbury, am I correct? And what's that? Shrewsbury. Another berry. Okay, I'm getting all these berries correct here. Shrewsbury. That's okay. Shrewsbury. And she had had some tragedies in her life. Was a single mom for a long, long time. And they got acquainted. And then here's what I learned, what spoke to me at the beginning of that service. Her sister got up and she read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which talks about for everything there is a season. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time time to dig things up. There's a time to dance. There's a time to cry. There's all of these ups and downs of life. And they had their share of ups and a lot of downs in life. But here's what spoke to me and continues to speak to me. They said that they had seen God through that whole thing, through their whole lives. And they had been connected and they had seen God working in their lives. And so they had realized that they were never alone. And as they were never alone, they had connected with God's people to worship. And because as they connected with him to worship, it's then that they develop relationships in their lives through this church and through another church. And as they developed those relationships with others, they had support as they went through the ups and downs of life. And they were involved in changing the world as they served our Lord and as they served others, as they followed him. You see, the answer to the sinkhole syndrome is that we begin by remembering that we are never alone. That we focus on that relationship with Christ like an arrow. And it's out of that, not out of duty, but it's out of love for Christ that we say, yes, Jesus, I want to worship you. Yes, Jesus, I want to love others in your name. I want to connect with your people. And yes, Jesus, I want to be part of your great mission to share your love with the world. And it's then, like Jesus said, when the storms of life come, we're not on quicksand, but we're on solid rock. And we're standing with him both now and forever. Won't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for this mission that you've placed us on. It's not easy, Lord. But Lord, we're grateful for this mission that you've placed us on. And now, Lord, may we know you. May we walk with you. May we talk with you and remember that we are your own. Lord, may we practice your presence, Lord. That we might have stability in the storms of life. Pray for those this morning who are going through life storms. Lord, there's some that are hurting badly. Lord, may they know your presence. And Lord, may we be of encouragement to one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching when you come back and make everything right. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.